Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. She is Abby Schnabel. I am Noah Hiles. Abby, it's underway. The best tournament in sports tipped off yesterday. Wagner defeated Howard. And, you know, we're not even going to talk about the other game because I don't want to upset Pitt fans any more than what they are already upset. But, yes, Virginia got smacked by Colorado State. Some more action in Dayton tonight. And then on Thursday, the real stuff gets underway. The first round of the NCAA tournament. Abby is in Omaha, Nebraska, where she will be covering the Duquesne Dukes, who take on BYU. That's where we'll be starting our show. But before we get our show started, we got to talk about the show's presenting sponsor, which is Mike's Beer Bar. Whether if you're in town for March Madness, a Pirates, Pitt, or Steelers game, Mike's Beer Bar is right across the street from PNC Park and has the best selection of beer in town, as well as amazing food options. They have over 20 TVs, and you can catch all of your NFL, college football, Pirates, Penguins, River Hounds, Premier League, and, of course, March Madness action right at Mike's. Come on in and try one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of them being local beers, as well as 80 different local craft beers available on tap. You can also get a flight to try out every option you can dream of. And trust me, you won't run out of favorites because I never do, and I'm always there. Try their steak on a stone for an awesome meal where you can choose how hot you'd like your steak cooked with a heated stone right in front of you as you enjoy a night out in the city of Pittsburgh. Come on into Mike's Beer Bar and get your sports fix and experience the best bar of Pittsburgh. And one final added line, if you're a Duquesne Dukes fan and you did not make the trip down to Omaha, Nebraska, one, you're not missing much in that city. Two, head over to Mike's to watch the game. If you can find a way to get off work or skip class or get out of whatever responsibility you would typically have on a Thursday afternoon, head over to Mike's. They had a great watch party there this past weekend. I'm sure there will be something there again for as long as the Dukes stay around in the NCAA tournament, which is what we're going to get into now. Duquesne, 11 seed. I thought that was a little high, honestly. I don't know about you, Abby.
I can explain that, too.
Okay, so they're an 11 seed. They're taking on BYU of the Big 12. An interesting matchup, Abby. This is one that some people, including, you know, Mr. March himself, John Rothstein, has Duquesne winning in this matchup. But others are puzzled. So, yeah, I'm just going to hand it over to you. Duquesne, the 11 seed, explain that and then break down this matchup.
Yeah, so the theory is, so some people say that they just got slaughtered into VCU's spot. I don't think that's the case, just because when you look at their quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four wins, Duquesne actually has a better, like, head-to-head with VCU, so I don't necessarily think that they just slid them in. What I think happened, and what a lot of people are speculating happened, is BYU, when you look at the overall seed list, should have been a five seed. However, the fives play Friday, Sunday. BYU doesn't play games on Sunday, just because of school rules, I think. And so, supposedly, the committee dropped them down to a six, and to make up for that, they gave them, or they put Duke in the 11 to give them a more favorable matchup, because they should technically be in a 5-12 game. Do I think Duquesne is necessarily a 12? I don't know. I think I was kind of surprised that they were 11. I probably would have been surprised if they were 12. I thought more of the 13 range.
Yeah.
But so that's what a lot of people are speculating happened, just to give BYU like to make up for that fact. But at the same time, like, in my opinion, like, if BYU is saying we won't play on Sunday, so like, either not like, don't make them play on Sunday, but you shouldn't be giving them a more favorable matchup right. just because you had to drop them down. Like,
that's, I agree. It's like, okay, we can schedule, we can accommodate your needs, but we're not gonna, you know, give you a cookie yeah. while we do it. And that's mm-hmm. that's, I think, the thing that a lot of people have pointed out. It's Duquesne and JMU probably should have been flipped. Mm-hmm. You know, Duquesne could have been a 12 playing against Wisconsin, which would have been it would have been the Ivy Schnabel Bowl. And then and JMU and honestly, you know, and this is nothing against the Dukes, but I'm sure BYU would have rather played Duquesne than JMU. So Dukes, right? Both of them. they would rather have the Pittsburgh Dukes.
I also think they wouldn't have put them in Brooklyn, and that's probably why they wanted Wisconsin in Brooklyn for whatever reason, and I don't think they would have put Duquesne in Brooklyn because it's at Barclays, and they were already there. That's a huge advantage in these kinds of things. So as cool as the Ivy Schnabel Bowl would have been, I'm sure our paper's wallet is very happy that I'm in Omaha and not Brooklyn this weekend.
Yes, I agree. All right, so let's talk about the matchup. 6 versus 11, second game on the slate Thursday. You got, you know, Tom Izzo versus Mississippi, and then you got Ivy Schnabel versus BYU. So break it down, Abby. What are some key points that we need to watch in this matchup?
Yeah, so I think the first one is centered around three-point shooting. BYU is a fantastic three-point shooting team. They attempt 12.3 a game, and they may – or I think I might have written that wrong because that doesn't make sense. I wrote down that they made 11.2 per game and they attempted 12.3, but their percentage is only 34.8, so that's wrong. But percentage, 34.8% a game, that's huge. They take a lot of threes, and that's the thing is it's dangerous because once they're hot, they're hot. It's one of those things where once a shot falls, they pretty much don't stop shooting. But at the same time, when you look at it, Duquesne is a really solid defensive team. They hold, they held their opponents to 31.7% from three-point range, so about a 3% difference there between BYU's offensive and Duquesne's defensive. However, Duquesne has the ability to really take away the perimeter, and I haven't watched too many BYU games, but I don't know how many of the teams in the Big 12 are so defensive focused that they're able to take away that. Like, that's Duquesne's bread and butter. That's how they've been winning games, and that's how they're going to win this game if they are to win this game. But then that leads me to my other point is Duquesne, I think Duquesne can shut down the three-point range. However, the problem is that Duquesne's offense is just not consistent. And if you're going to beat a team like BYU, if you're going to win in the NCAA tournament, your defense and your offense need to be on. And I don't think we've really seen that in their A-10 tournament run, maybe against SLU, a little bit against Dayton. But even when you look at the VCU game, they didn't score for 8 minutes straight. And that's game time. That can't happen against the BYU team. But then also when you look at it, BYU, of their 7 top scorers, 4 of them average 10 or more points. 3 of them are 9.1 to 9.8. That's a lot of offensive weapons. It's not like you're shutting down one or two guys. You have to shut down all 7. And that's hard. And then you have the other aspect of when you look at Duquesne's offense, Dede Grant and Jimmy Clark are the only guys over 16.7 for Dede and 15.1 for Jimmy. We've seen some guys get hot, like Jake DeMichael's been really good offensively these past couple of days. I feel like Dusan Mihorčić has been decent offensively. But other than that, like, you look at Dave Dixon, he's the next one. That's at 17.1. That's an 8-point difference between him and Jimmy Clark, who's second and third. So, like, That's a problem. And also just BYU is really tall. So when you look at those same 7 players that I mentioned, and so that's not even probably including some of their other, like, more intangibles defensive guys, their shortest person of these 7 that I have written down, Jackson Robinson, Trevin Nell, Fusini Traore, Spencer Johnson, Noah Waterman, Richie Saunders, and Dallin Hall, your shortest is 6'4", and your tallest is 6'11". And again, that's not taking into consideration some of the other guys. When you look at Duquesne's seven, your shortest Kareem Rozier is 5'9". Like, there's a picture of me interviewing him out there, and we are eye to eye. And I'm 5'2". Granted, so we're not totally eye to eye, but it's pretty dang close. Because then you look at me interviewing some of the other taller guys, and it's like, I'm out of frame. And then their tallest is Dusan Mihorčić at 6'10". So there's a huge height advantage. And Duquesne is missing Trey Williams, who has a shoulder injury sustained from Dayton. And while he's not the biggest scorer, he's a huge rebounder for them. And he's arguably their most physical post player because he simply has the most experience playing in a Keith Damrott system. He does so many intangibles, and they were able to make up for it in the A-10, and I thought they did really well. However, I don't know if they can do that, because here's the thing, is the guys that have been stepping up, the biggest one was Jakob Neches, is a freshman. And as fantastic as he's been playing, I truly think his three-pointer at the end of the VCU game is what changed, got Duquesne back in it, and was able to close it out. As great as he is, he's playing against guys that are older than him, have played way tougher teams than him. I mean, these are guys that have gone up against Hunter Dickinson, one of the best bigs in the nation. And I think because of that, BYU has a major advantage because they've gone up a better talent. Like, you got to think, who's the best team Duquesne's played this year? Nebraska, maybe. When you look at it, they kept it close with Nebraska, but they still didn't win. And granted, that was before they really figured out their issues. But I don't know. There's just so many things in the BYU favor. But at the same time, it's March. So who knows? Like, you can say that because I've covered another historical run, Loyola Chicago in 2018. They had the odds stacked up against them, too. I think that Loyola Chicago team had a lot more talent than this Duquesne team. But that's where we're at. What do you think?
Yeah, I just to dumb it down to one exact point where I think the Dukes will not be able to overcome. When you look at a defensive team, you know, that's the strength of Duquesne, right? Is its defense. Is that defense going to be good enough to withstand, which I call it the panic period, which goes on in every game for every team, where they go 4+ minutes without making a shot from the field. That defense was good enough to hold strong during the panic period against VCU, against Dayton, against the Bonnies. I don't know if it's good enough to hold off BYU. I don't know if you have the luxury of a panic period. And if it is, it can't be between media breaks. Like, it's got to be like 5 possessions max. Yeah. And you're asking a lot because, yes, while Duquesne has a lot of scorers, some of those guys aren't very efficient scorers. No. You know, like Grant shoots the ball a lot. Clark shoots the ball a lot. And if they're on, then yeah, this is no conversation. You know, like if Grant and Clark have career days, then Abby, you're hanging out in Omaha for a couple more. But if they just play their average, you know, output, I don't know if it's efficient enough to match what BYU has. And I think it's important to also point out that BYU is a newcomer to the Big 12. This isn't a team that's filled with Big 12 caliber recruits. They're just here. But I mean, it's not like the program was bad before it was in the Big 12 either. You know, like that, it was a solid program that semi-annually or semi-regularly was in this tournament where Duquesne wasn't. So yeah, I just think there are too many things going against Duquesne right now. I think it was an incredible story. But very rarely do you see these Cinderellas from conference tournament week who had no shot of making the tournament as an at-large bid win their league. You don't really see that carry over often. You see it with teams that maybe were on the bubble and then get hot and win their league, or teams that even were just, you know, middle of the pack or you know, auto bid or not at large bid guys, and they get hot and they go on a run and win the whole darn thing. But you know, Cinderella's last week don't necessarily translate to Cinderella's this week, especially in like a, you know, if it's like a 13 or a 14. Yeah. Cause they had to, but it's just, it's a little different with Duquesne. I think their magic might run out on Thursday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and I will say that I do feel like you do, especially March, have to consider the magic effect. Is Duquesne could totally come into that game, play balls to the wall, and surprise all of us because they, one, have the momentum. By the time we get to tomorrow's game, BYU hasn't played in a week, which maybe isn't an advantage, maybe isn't. And then it's like BYU isn't making history here. Like, right. Duquesne has so much to play for. No matter what, the next game they lose is Heath Dambrot's last game. It's David Grant's last game. It's Jimmy Clark's last game. And sometimes those things really are the difference for an underdog team like this. And so, I don't know. I think Jimmy Clark, I'm excited for the Jimmy Clark-Jackson Robinson matchup because I'm sure Jimmy Clark's favorite thing to say is, I want their best shooter. Because he wants to defend him because he's that good. But I hope the magic continues for them. I'm not optimistic, but like, right. Who knows? But let's move on to the Pittsburgh teams. Noah, you'll be out there at PPG Paints Arena.
Yes. We've got four really enticing matchups in Pittsburgh here. Some good local storylines, which you can check out our coverage on at post-gazette.com. Abby, just real quick, looking over these four matchups, which one's your favorite? Creighton, Akron, Kentucky, Oakland, South Carolina, Oregon, Texas Tech, NC State.
I think I'm more excited for the South Carolina, Oregon one. I just think what Lamont Paris has been able to do with that South Carolina team after such a bad season last year and get them in back into the mix, into the NCAA tournament, is fantastic. I think they're playing pretty well right now. But, I mean, Oregon is one of those teams that, like, it was a bid sealer, has the magic. The matchup isn't too lopsided either. You're playing Oregon – won the championship, South Carolina didn't, and you know, maybe Oregon has more magic, maybe South Carolina has more magic, I don't know. Both teams have a lot to play for, so I think it's going to be one of those games where it's nice and close, which are my favorite during March, and you have a buzzer beater at the end maybe, but that's the one I'm personally most excited for. But I do want to point out, it's kind of, what's funny is Keith Dambrot isn't there, but it's kind of a Keith Dambrot reunion show with Lamont Paris, who used to coach under Keith Dambrot, coming in for South Carolina, and then the place where Keith Dambrot made his name, Akron, coming in, and that's kind of funny. I know they're not playing each other, but I figured I'd mention it since we're talking about those teams.
Yeah, no, I think there's a local storyline or interest point with almost all of these. I mean, Kentucky's head coach, I forget his name. He's from Moon Township. That Kakapari, John Calipari, is obviously from Moon. Adu Thiero and Trey Mitchell, also Western Pennsylvania guys, two big time guys on Kentucky. So you've got those three local storylines. I think that's probably going to be the biggest draw this weekend. Anytime Big Blue Nation rolls into town, you know, there's just going to be a sea of blue downtown, which will be fun to cover. Because I was at the last March Madness where Kentucky played its first round game, and just seeing the media swarm, the fans in Greensboro, it's just, they're a traveling show, man. They're something else. But my favorite matchup here is Texas Tech, NC State. Just because, like you said, it's another bid stealer coming in. And this is a team that Pitt fans, and this is, again, tough for them to hear. Cover your ears if you're a Panther fan. But this is probably the spot where Pitt should have been playing. And it's not in the sense where, like, Pitt wouldn't have been playing in Pittsburgh. But Pitt, if it got its bid, would be playing Texas Tech as an 11, probably. So that's tough. You look at that matchup, and I think the Panthers match up pretty well against Texas Tech, where NC State, I mean, they won 5 games in 5 days. That's an incredible story.
It's also exhausting.
It is exhausting. And you're doing that on, you know, against your rivals, against teams you've played once, twice already. I don't know. I feel like Texas Tech's kind of being overlooked by the DJ Burns magic a little bit. But this is one where I could see going either way. I could see NC State just continuing to say, screw it. We're winning. We're doing this. Because the NC State has some horses. You know, DJ Horn is really good. But I don't know. Texas Tech has just been in the better league. And it's a really good team. I'm kind of shocked that it's a 6 seed, honestly. I thought it'd be a 5 or a 4. So that's where I stand on that. That's my matchup that I'm most looking forward to.
Can you imagine a world in which Pitt and Duquesne were 11 seeds? Can you imagine the outrage?
In Dayton. Put them in Dayton, both of them.
Oh, my God.
All right. So we'll move on now to the final portion of the show. We got to do a bracket. Abby's been running around like a chicken with her head cut off. She hasn't had a chance to fill the whole thing out. Me, I'm just one of those sickos where the moment CBS says, and that concludes our bracket, I turn off my TV and fill it all out right there. And I think I'm in like 9 bracket pools right now. So, Abby, also, are you a 1 bracket or a multi-bracket gal?
So it depends. It depends. When I have time to fill out multiple brackets, I do. Like last year I did multiple brackets. This year I technically have multiple brackets because Finley, my dog, has a bracket. Mm. And it's under my name and everything. But I truly held up 2 treats for every single matchup, yeah, and he picked. So that's not really my bracket, which I'll also share his final 4 because it's kind of hilarious in, yes, my opinion. But yeah, so I'll jump in and I'll share mine just based off of, again, I haven't really done the head-to-heads, but teams I like, storylines I like. I have a final 4 of Marquette, Creighton, UConn, and Arizona. So that would be Marquette versus Creighton, which Big East showdown in the semifinals, and then UConn, Arizona, 1 seed, Arizona's, you know, bye-bye Big 12 kind of thing. And I have Pac-12. Arizona, sorry, thank you, Pac-12, yeah, again, running on very little sleep in all of this.
Big 12 ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, no, Pac-12, bye-bye Pac-12. I've got Arizona winning that matchup between UConn just because I think, one, my first ever NCAA tournament game was Arizona, so maybe I'm a little bit of a fan. But also, you know, make noise, be the last Pac-12 team to win the whole thing. I'm a toss-up between Marquette and Creighton. But if I had to say, I'm going to go Marquette. So Marquette-Arizona matchup in the final, and I'm taking Arizona. However, there's more likelihood that in my Final Four scenario, it's a Big East championship game. So I'll let Noah go, and then if we want to giggle about Finland, yes, I'll share that.
I'll go real quick. My Final Four is UConn, Baylor, Houston, Creighton. I think UConn is just, I don't have the number in front of me, but I'd have to imagine probably at least 35 to 40% of the country has them winning it all. And I mean, I was sold on UConn before conference play. I watched, mm-hmm, them play against North Carolina one night, and I was just like, this team's perfect. Like, just look at it. It has everything you need. And, mm-hmm, from backcourt to frontcourt to coaching to shooting to defending, it's just perfect. So I have them go to the Final Four. Baylor's a team I had a chance to see in person in Brooklyn earlier this year. And again, while I was watching them, I was like, this is a really, really good team. They've got veteran guard play. They've got star power with Walter, you know, a lottery pick guy. They've got a really good big man. And, you know, they got a coach who's done it. Granted, they've had some early exits in the last couple of years, but they've also won a national championship in the last 3 or 4. So I think Baylor can sneak in that bottom left region. Houston is a team that, I don't know, that's probably the least confident I'm in out of all my Final Four picks. And then Creighton, I think, is a team that is really, really good and probably the most underrated team in the country, in my, mm-hmm, opinion. So my national championship game will be between UConn and Houston, and I'm taking the Huskies like everyone, mm-hmm, else because I'm just a basic boy, Abby. Let's go to you for Finley, and then we'll wrap it up.
So I don't have his bracket in front of me just because it's on my mom's computer, but I have his, I believe, because I wrote out his Elite Eight and not his Final Four, but if I remember correctly, he has Illinois, Duke, Grand Canyon, and Creighton. Finley was hot on Grand Canyon. Finley was hot on the mid-majors because, let's be real, he had Yale in the Elite Eight, and he had Purdue getting upset in the first round, again. But again, he's a dog. What does he know? But he had Illinois winning it all. I think it was a Illinois-Creighton matchup, if I'm correct, on the right side of things.
Yep.
And
Battle of the three seeds.
Yeah, he had Illinois-Duke as his Final Four like matchup, and I was
it would have been Duke. It would have been Duke versus Creighton.
Okay, so he had Illinois Grand Canyon. Then there you go. Thank you. Ooh. Sorry, Illinois Grand Canyon.
Set the alarm to make sure you're in front of a TV for that one. That's appointment television.
But he did. He did have Illinois win. And yeah, it was so funny. I don't know how I made time to do that, but it was so much fun to see his various reactions. The one game he took a really, really long time to decide, funny enough, was Wisconsin, James Madison. We had to try it. I say we because my mom was in town. We had to try it like 6 or 7 times because every time I'd put my hands out, he'd like run away. And it was the only one he did it for. It was so funny.
Tough one. 12-5. You never know.
Yeah. So woohoo. We're in the thick of it. We're in March. You'll be in Pittsburgh. I'm in Omaha. Let the magic begin. On.
Yes, absolutely. Abby, any final thoughts?
Those were them.
Yeah, that was that. Sorry. It's yeah.
Yeah.
First round jitters. All right. You can check out all of Abby's work at post-gazette.com. You can check out all of our work there. And you can check out all of our analysis on the Post Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.